Confronted by critics and naysayers, Jesus rarely entered into direct confrontation and debate. Instead, he told stories. Lots and lots of stories. Stories about birds and flowers and prosperous businessmen and neglectful bridesmaids and dinner invitations. Stories about yeast and mustard seeds and buried treasure. Stories about wandering sheep and lost money and wayward offspring. Perhaps the obvious needs to be pointed out sometimes. That if we're looking for signs and pathways to God, the doorway to heaven is framed in stories. And that our relationship with God, like any good human relationship, revolves not around precise definitions and right answers, but around heartfelt and respectful questions. Show me a man or woman who can name all the reasons for choosing the partner they did, and I will show you someone who has forgotten what it's like to fall tongue-tied in love. Explanations work, up to a point. Logic works up to a point. But stories invite us into a new world of infinite possibilities and alternative endings, to imagine how else the world might be, and to allow ourselves permission to choose a new path and to follow our heart. Religious grumbling and complaining and self-righteousness, Jesus seems to say, says much more about us than it ever does about God. God's ways, God's rules, God's righteousness are not our own. And to illustrate that point, Jesus tells stories. Stories that are foolish and outlandish and nonsensical by earthly standards, but which invite us and dare us to adjust our sight and standards heavenward. Let me do the same, to offer just a story that may paint a picture of the way life could be if heaven were to shine through. The story is one I ran across this week of a high school basketball team in El Paso, Texas. Some of you may have seen it. A story of a special needs student, a special coach, and a very, very special opponent. At the center of the story is a young man named Mitchell, whose developmental disability is far outweighed by his love for basketball. Because of that love, Mitchell volunteered to be the student manager or assistant of his high school basketball team. Because of that love, his high school teammates rallied around him, valuing his energy and enthusiasm. And because of that love, his coach decided to try something special. At the last game of the year, he handed Mitchell a uniform and told him to suit up and go sit on the bench with his teammates. What he didn't tell Mitchell or anyone else was that he planned to put Mitchell in the ball game, regardless of the score and regardless of how it might affect winning or losing. So at the final timeout of the fourth quarter, the player substitution is made and Mitchell walks onto the court. The crowd recognizes the momentousness of the occasion and begins chanting his name, Mitchell, 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 Mitchell. Mitchell, for his part, positions himself at the far end of the court, just a few feet away from his team's basket. The ball is brought up court, passed to Mitchell, and as the crowd holds its breath, Mitchell shoots. And the ball bounces harmlessly off the backboard. Again, the ball is brought up court and passed to Mitchell. Again, he shoots. And again, he misses. A third time, the ball is moved up court by teammates and passed to Mitchell, only this time the ball bounces off his hands and rolls out of bounds. And watching the video, I suspect I'm watching an SU ball game. With only 13 seconds left in the game, clearly Mitchell's time and opportunity to make a basket have run out. Except for one last unexpected grand twist. The player inbounding the ball for the other team calls out Mitchell's name and then turns the ball over by passing the ball not to a teammate but to Mitchell, who turns, shoots one more time, and makes it. Heaven is where strange and unexpected things happen, where opponents become allies, where special needs students become stars, where coaches care about more than just wins and losses, and according to Jesus, where wayward youth get to come home and start over again. One author commenting on the story of the prodigal points out the various descriptions given to his behavior by different Bible translations. One version, close to the one we read this morning, speaks of him squandering his property in dissolute living. Another speaks of his riotous living, and yet another tells us that he wasted his goods in living lecherously. Behind all these words, writes the commentator, is the Greek word asotos, meaning not savable, unsalvageable. And whether read from the perspective of one who viewed himself as being beyond help, or from the perspective of the wider community viewing him as being irredeemable and beyond hope, it amounts to the same thing. Not just someone who has wasted his life and possessions and opportunities, but someone who is utterly beyond repair. Yet spying him in the distance, which can only happen if the Father has been watching and waiting and praying for this very moment, the Father races madly down the road to meet him, cuts off his apology, and shocks the whole town by inviting them to welcome his long-lost son home as if he were an astronaut or Olympic champion or war hero, not someone who played him for a fool and sap not so long ago. Ask any parent how many nights they've lain sleepless in bed, waiting for a teenage son or daughter to slip in the back door and sort of tiptoe their way up the stairs to their room. And you know a bit of God's love for us. Ask any parent who's endured a torrent of words and accusations, followed by the slamming of the front door and a vow never to return, and yet who still waits anxiously by that door or by the phone, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you know a bit of God's love for us. Welcome home, God says to each of us today. This time, this place, this meal, is for you. If you have made a mess of things, welcome home. This time, this place, this meal is for you. If you find yourself in a fractured relationship, welcome home. This time, this place, this meal is for you. If there is some part of your internal psyche that has become estranged, welcome home. This time, this place, this meal is for you. And if you have wandered off from the best things in life, you have wandered off from the God who made you and who never gives up on you, this time, this place, this meal is for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.